96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The Revolution with Juan McCartney is sponsored by Bonneville Bones, Burger King, C5, Commonwealth Bank, the Digital Transformation Unit, Fidelity Bank Bahamas, the Jeff Rogers Basketball Camp, J.S. Johnson, NUA Insurance Agents and Brokers, Popeyes, Ron's Electric Motors, the Water and Sewage Corporation, and Wilmax Pharmacy.
Good afternoon, ladies. Welcome to the Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney, so good to have you with us. I'm hearing an echo again. That's not going to work for me. All right, let's not do the echo. I guess we're doing an echo. I can take the headphones off, but I won't be able to hear anybody. Even though now I can hear myself. All right. Can you work that out? Okay, we can. All right. Okay, so join us a little later in the show. Will be Bishop Simeon Hall during the second hour. He wants to talk to us about a project that he has going on. An event that's coming up, and we'll also be talking today about some things that happened in the House of Assembly. You can pick up a copy of today's Nassau Guardian to read very harrowing report. The plane crash that occurred on Long Island over the weekend, really, you know, a step-by-step detail of what the passengers say they went through, and they talk extensively about the death of Alethea Newbole. Just very tragic, you know, not for the weak of heart. And I'm shocked that they can even speak to what has occurred at this point, since it's only been a couple of days away. Dr. Bishop, Reverend Dr. Esquire Simeon Hall is on the line with us. Is that correct? Good afternoon, Bishop Hall. Bishop Hall is not on the line. Okay. It's going to be that type of day, huh? All right. No problem. If Bishop Hall was on the line, he can call back. That's no problem. Try to get him back. All right. I'll wait. I'll call back. All right. All right, we got Bishop Simeon Hall on the line. Good afternoon, Bishop Hall. How are you?
I'm fine. This is what's left of me, thank God.
That's it. It's still good. We'll take it. All right.
Bless you.
So you have something coming up that you wanted to let the people know about. By all means, go ahead and tell us.
Thank you. I have the privilege to go to Jackson, Mississippi.
Excellent.
To preach in one of the largest convention. The majority of them are black persons. It's the largest, the National Baptist Convention, USA Incorporated, is the largest gathering of Protestant blacks in the United States, in fact, in the world.
Excellent.
And I happen to have been invited there on the 20th of this month, and I'm going. I thank God for this privilege through the recommendation of Dr. William Dollar, President Lloyd Smith, and Dr. Max E. My name got on the list, and they said they want a good preacher who has a strong social conscience, and somehow my name got on the list.
But, excellent.
I go there on the 20th. I speak on the 21st. I still have some physical challenges, and so I need the prayers of the church in the Bahamas. But I plan to go and to raise a word, preaching, I think, around 10 o'clock on the 21st. One of the things I thought that could be relevant to your discussion. I commend you for the high level of interaction you have fostered throughout the Bahamas. And one of the things I think the media as a whole miss, though, is the importance of religion in the socialization of our Bahamian life. It is woven into every fabric of our society, and it still plays a role. And I plan to go and do my best to represent the Bahamas and to represent the kingdom of God. And so for the Christian community to pray for me. I was 75 last month, and I had some physical challenges, but I'm still preaching. And in fact, I will be preaching in one of our churches this week. And I preached last Sunday in another one. So I think that's why the Lord has me here, to pass on some of the gifts I have. But one of the things in the American setting is I was in school for 5 years in the United States. I know a little bit of the United States. And my sermon is the story of Moses in the burning bush, that barefoot around the burning bush is my topic. And one of the things I call for is God told Moses to take off his shoes. And I'm going to call on the American audience to take off some things. The value you put on little children, and put so much value on guns. Mm. That's one of the points that comes to mind. And the same thing is applicable here. I believe that all preaching, relevant preaching, contemporary preaching, finds its basis in what's happening in this morning's Guardian this morning. And so that's the kind of preaching I've done over the years, and that's what I will try to do.
Well, Bishop Paul, I'll certainly be praying for you. I think one of the things that we love about you is that you represent that mindset that the church has a place, a prominent place in national affairs. It also has a prominent place in the communities that make up a nation and those families that make up communities. And I know you'll get on the pulpit, and I've heard you preach at funerals. I've heard you speak at national events, but I've also seen things happen to church members, people you know. Midnight, you'll come out and you'll lead people around in prayer to try to calm them down and comfort them. And so you do it on all levels, and it's really excellent. And I'm glad you're still doing it. And we're going to say good prayers for you. And we're proud you're representing us over there.
And uniquely, I'm not the only person that does that. There are 4,000 churches in the Bahamas. And I'm sure the majority of them, the majority of our pastors do well. As long as people sin, they're going to need a pastor.
And you know what? I find that people critique the church a lot, but it's a lot of work. I had, when my mom died, it was a doctor's hospital. This is like 9, 10 o'clock at night. And Bishop Laish Boyd came out there because my brother's an Anglican priest, and that's his mother. And he came out deep into the night to lead us in prayer and try to comfort us. And it's just something that seems to be ingrained in a lot of people who are really dedicated to God's community.
It's part of your training, but it's also part of your calling. You do these things, and you're tired, you get old, and you can't do what you used to do. But, you know, that's when you get some younger person to carry the work on. But all pastors do well. And so I leave you with the point that just how you lift the level of conscientization, is what they call it down in the Caribbean.
Ah, okay.
Pastors do the same thing with lifting that God connection, and to make it relevant and to make it contemporary. And that's what I've tried to do these 55 years I've been preaching, and I've been blessed. God has taken me around the world, but it's a long way from Choknek Alley to Mississippi. And
yes,
so
sir.
I need the prayer.
Awesome. We will be praying for you, Bishop Paul.
God Good bless journey. You, man.
All right. Be looking for you when you come back. All right, Bishop Paul. And you know, you probably put it together, those who don't know, that Bishop Paul is the father of Chef Simeon Hall Jr., who I always have on. So he's not the only, Hall that's rated in the Bahamas. Bishop Simeon Hall was, you know, rated way before Chef Simeon, but Chef Simeon's still doing it big. All right. So let's talk about a couple of things that went down in the budget. I don't know if we'll get through all of it. We'll see. If you were able to catch Public Utilities Alfred Sears budget communication yesterday, you would have heard of an extremely detailed presentation. Excuse me. An extremely specifically detailed presentation about what is happening with the Ministry of Works and some of the things under his purview, with particular BPL, which we may get into BPL today, but we may need an entire show for BPL, but we'll try to get into it today. Before I get into Alfred Sears talked about, let me just say this. I swear these people aren't paying me. If you want to, like, we could work, but I promise you they're not paying me. But Prime Minister Davis is in Los Angeles at the Summit of the Americas. Now, the Summit of the Americas was a little controversial this year because Obrador, the Mexican president, he didn't attend because he feels as though the Biden administration has snubbed several countries, that Mexico has Venezuela, Cuba, although I don't know why they're surprised about that like that, and El Salvador among them. And they want to show solidarity with those countries. And so they're not sending certain representatives, high-level representatives, to the Summit of the Americas. But it is a large summit where very important people, movers and shakers attend. And they talk about affairs in the Americas. And I think President Biden was there yesterday, if I recall. And Prime Minister Davis addressed them yesterday. And look, there's this talking point that, well, the Prime Minister travels a lot because he's in high demand or whatever like that. I don't have a problem with the Prime Minister traveling. Now, you don't got to take everybody with you, but I'm trying not to sound like Bishop Paul, so I'm trying to be a good boy. But I don't have a problem with the Prime Minister traveling. I don't have a problem with him spreading his message all over the globe. It ain't no issue to me, all right? And so some people have a problem with him traveling. I don't. They were floating. The reason that he travels so much is because they say, well, he's in high demand because he's speaking about climate change, which has been taken seriously. First of all, I don't know about the high demand, okay? You got to back that up with something, you know? Second of all, do they take climate change seriously? Or because every time I see something big happen with climate change, it just fizzles out. Third of all, you don't have to say all that to justify why he's there. So the Prime Minister is, and I would be too, I would be doing it more hardcore than he's doing it, actually. The Prime Minister says he's trying to get the world to take the carbon credit market seriously. And he explained during his speech the challenges of navigating the carbon credit market. So he's talked to us about Carbon Show with Lang and Romy Ferreira. I heard quite a bit of it. And Romy Ferreira talked about the challenges with the carbon credit market and current legislation that we have. But it is true that the carbon credit market is disjointed and not easy to navigate. And what he's doing is calling for a more organized and easily navigatable carbon credit market. And I support him. And if he wants to go do that every week at big places until somebody clicks and goes, you know what, this guy from the Bahamas might be onto something. Let me see what's happening. Somebody who can make it happen. You know what I mean? And I support that. All right. He's also doing something else where he's talking about debt forgiveness for small island states hit by hurricanes. Nah, I'll be real with you. Right? I don't know who's going to buy that, but I don't mind you trying it. I don't think these guys who I don't know what his strategy is. Is your strategy that you're trying to get like world body, like these huge alphabet organizations, like OECD, G20, well, that's a group. Are you trying to get them to the EU, all these people, the UN? Are you trying to get them as a body to say we're going to take a certain policy toward debt with small island developing states, and then the banks who we owe money to are going to be like, all right, yeah, all right. Don't worry about it. It ain't that much money. But if you're trying to convince bankers that they should forgive your debt because you've been hit by a hurricane, they don't care. They're banks. That's what they do. If there's one thing a bank going to do, it's figure out how to make money. Like, you see that the IDB is already shoring up our bond offering, right? I think it's 200 and something million. I got to pull the story up. The IDB is already shoring that up. That ain't free. So they're making money off of that. But I don't know how you're going to go to the World Bank, who we owe money to for the first time in some time. The IMF. Yeah, we had a World Bank loan recently. The IMF, who we owe money to through the special drawn rights thing. The IDB. All right. Other banks. I can pull up the budget and show you what we owe, which banks we owe money to and how much money we owe them. I don't know that you're going to convince them that they should forgive our debt because of hurricanes when we didn't take on the vast majority of that debt because of hurricanes. So the prime minister said something interesting yesterday. He said half of our debt is because of hurricanes. So we got about $11 billion in debt. We probably took on 60% of that debt, if someone corrected me if I'm wrong, since 2008 because of the financial crisis and what happened after that. The Bahamas has never run a balanced budget, not at the end of the day, since independence. That I'm aware of. I think there was one year there was a projected balance and surplus, but that's happened before, but it never actually came true. We've never run a balanced budget, period. Hurricane or not, have taken on most of that debt due to world conditions. We certainly took a large GDP hit because of hurricanes, and we certainly have borrowed a significant amount because of hurricanes, but you're going to have to show me on paper by facility where we took on over $5 billion in debt for hurricanes. So we don't borrow money to insure public property for hurricanes. We are what's called self-insured, which means that we have no insurance. And if it breaks, we just build it back. We normally would borrow money to build some of it back. We have certainly taken out sellers to assist with hurricane relief. But I'm going to challenge the Ministry of Finance to show me, look, the Prime Minister's the Minister of Finance, and you had him saying that we have half of our debt is because of hurricanes. You're going to have to show me where that is. I'm going to challenge you guys to show me where that is. So I support the Prime Minister in asking for debt forgiveness. Will it work? I don't know. I'd be happy if it does. But these people who we owe money to, they know that's not all hurricane money. They know what y'all do. They know y'all go buy new fleets of cars and trips, yeah. That's, they know what's happening. They know we have jobs programs and, you know, give out contracts and without proper procurement systems in place. They know. Why do you think we passed all that fiscal responsibility legislation? That's what you do when you go into an IMF program. All that stuff that we do now, all this like quarterly and month-to-month and, you know, reports we have to do mandated by law. They know what we spend our money on. They're not dumb. They're quite clear. Yeah. So best of luck. I do hope that it works. I just don't understand the particular strategy. There may be something I don't understand, but I'm with him. Let's do some debt forgiveness. All right. Let's do some debt forgiveness because of the hurricanes. I totally, totally agree. Now, I know what you're going to hit me with. You're going to hit me with, well, they estimate that there's over $4 billion in damage from the hurricane. That may very well be the case. But that don't mean that you borrowed over $4 billion to address that. So again, you'll have to show me that. That's my challenge to the Ministry of Finance. Show me that. But I support what the Prime Minister is doing. Go everywhere. high and low, and tell them forgive our debt and try to organize the carbon credit market. Let me show you something. Don't tell me one small Bahamas can't change nothing. All right, we're small, but we can be mighty. And I'm gonna claim it, right? So because of us, we effectively brought about, we were the catalyst, I'm gonna claim it, to bring about, in effect, the end of apartheid in South Africa, which is a huge country, all right? I'm claiming it, all right? And Mandela came here and thanked us for all our efforts, right? Because of Strilland and what the Progressive Liberal Party administration at that time were doing. We can figure this out. We can lead the world in the carbon credit market. All right. Are we set up to do it? I don't know. But we're at least trying it. We're at least talking about it. And I think it's an admirable effort. Is it going to work out in the next like couple of years? Maybe not. You know, it's still a really, you know, scattershot type of deal with the carbon work. And I support him. I'm not going to knock him down. I'm a lift you up. Because I think you're doing a good job, and you're not a maniac, all right? That goes a long way with me, that you're not a maniac. Let me pivot on that point to say that I don't know that I'd be a maniac, but a lot of what y'all got going on, it wouldn't happen with me as prime minister. I could tell you that. Not even close. So let me show you something. Alfred Sears says, again, if you listen to his presentation or read his presentation, I have the speech, it's very detailed in what he's talking about. And he's clearly strategized where he wants to take the Ministry of Works. Now, Alfred Sears, I rate you, all right? Not just because you're cool with me, which you are, and I like you, which goes a long way with me, and I do, but because I respect you. I respect your intellect. I respect your hustle. I respect the fact that you are strategic in what you do, all right? Rather than some of the clout chasing that tends to go on at that level. So Alfred Sears, I'm sorry, reading The Guardian with House Speaker Patricia DeVoe blasting a Stephen Russell. Oh, Patricia DeVoe. Don't you know that there is no circumstance in which Stephen Russell will not continue to be the director of NEMA, whether through divine intervention or nobody else wants that job? There's no circumstance, all right, in which Stephen Russell is not going to be NEMA director. So, you know, you're new to this. But you could save that energy, in my estimate. I've seen too much to believe that anything will change. All right. So let's look at what Alfred Sears said yesterday about roadworks. And so you messaged me yesterday about South Andros. He talked about South Andros, actually. He talked about a lot of islands. He really went into a lot of detail, particularly with roadworks, right? The Minister of Works says that they're going to spend $29 million for a new Gladstone Road. Okay. And a lot of people are going to go, $29 million for Gladstone Road. The teachers can't get paid. Da, 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 da. I'm with you. Right? I'm with you because I don't care. Right? I don't care what happens to Gladstone because I don't drive on Gladstone Road. So I don't, but I understand how this works. Like, you got to put all the money in one pot and you got to help different people. One day y'all get around to helping me for the money I put in as opposed to everybody else. But everything cool. You picked up my trash by 2:30 yesterday after 2 weeks. I want to think that just happened by happenstance, and you messed up my my fence for the trash. Maybe that was intentional, maybe not. No worries. I'll buy some new screws and put it in there. If you pick up the trash. But certainly, I don't get a lot of bang for my buck, for my tax dollars, for particular roads that I drive on. Since it took forever to get mine also. It's insanity. So Alfred Sears says $29 million for Gladstone Road. And I'm like, that's a lot of money for a road that I don't rate like that. But I understand if you travel on Gladstone, hell, I don't even go on Gladstone Road anymore. But I just, like, if I hit Fusion or I Premier Crew, but I've been there a long time. But if you even go close to Gladstone Road, you understand traffic's a nightmare. And they tell me if you go on it in the morning, it's a nightmare. So it's $29 million for Gladstone Road. And I want to say something before I get into the meat of all this about the road repair. Me, remember I told you I wouldn't be a maniac, but it'd be different with me. Me, I ain't billing y'all no more road. Listen to me. Y'all can't drive, okay? You in your car right now, 9 out of 10, you are a terrible driver. Don't belong on the road. 50 out of half and half, you got insurance, the basic insurance on this road, and drive like lunatics. All right. I don't come on y'all side, right? In a 3-mile radius of my home, if I can help it. Right. I think the Guardian may be within 3 miles. And I had to take my car to get serviced this morning. Okay. Out by the, what is it? Sandpin, right? And my great folly, I took Soldier Road to Prince Charles Drive to Robinson Road. No, that's Robinson. That's not Prince Charles. Soldier Road to Robinson Road. East-West Highway to Independence Highway. Independence Highway to Tawny Williams Darling Highway. And the roundabout that leads to the National Sporting Complex to, what the hell is the name of that thing? The New Providence Highway. All right? That's what it's called at the six-legged roundabout, the New Providence Highway. They can exit. And I took it there. And it's a nightmare. It's a nightmare. Y'all can't drive. Y'all don't belong in cars. Y'all need to walk. I'll put y'all on bicycle. If what y'all are into. Y'all can't use roundabouts. You don't use traffic lights properly. You don't use carriageways properly. 90% of you. I wasn't billing y'all no new road. Bicycle. I was getting for y'all. I'll give you free bicycle for everybody. First of all, I'm taking all your cars away. And you gotta get it back. You gotta first show me proof of insurance before I even let you get a car. Then you... That's why I tell y'all, y'all don't want me to be prime minister. Then you're going to have to be 21 before you get behind the wheel of a car. And you're going to have to go to school for about 3 months before you get there. And you're going to have to take your driving test every 18 months. 2 years. I'll give you 2 years. You're going to have to do it every 2 years. You have to take your driving test over. Y'all are a disgrace on this road. I wasn't spending no $30 million to buy y'all no road. Me and about 8% of the driving population, we deserve to be on the road. I came out of Sandpin Motor. I'm not even making this up. I came out of Sandpin where the service area was. And y'all ain't going to like it, but I ain't trying to ask y'all to vote for me. I came out of the area where Sandpin Motors was, right? I'm turning right, north right, toward the police college. There's a dude in a truck who's coming out of the T-junction, isn't even looking, doesn't wait. I'm in front of him. He almost T-bones me. He's not even looking in front of him, yet he's turning onto Thompson Boulevard or whatever it's called now, JF, what is it? University Drive. Don't deserve no car. Y'all be walking. If you got like a sick person, if you elderly, bus, I can give y'all a bus. How about that? Train bus drivers will come pick you up and keep the roads clear. Able-bodied people, it's going to be a high bar to cross. And bicycle, if you got babies, we can bring the bus for you too. Other than that, mm-mm. That's why all y'all can't have guns. Look how y'all operate with a car. Imagine a gun. Me, I can have a gun. We'll talk more about Gladstone Road. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
When it comes to picking a pharmacy that is convenient, reliable, and puts you first, only one name comes to mind, Wilmax Pharmacy. a team of trusted and trained pharmacists ready to serve and assist you with all your pharmaceutical and over-the-counter needs. We also carry beauty and hair products as well as household and everyday supplies. Open 7 days a week, 7:30 a.m. to 8 p.m. NIV drug plan is accepted. Cut down your wait time. WhatsApp new prescriptions and refills to 817-4067. Visit Wilmax Pharmacy today. Poinciana Drive, opposite University of the Bahamas. Call 323-1037.
The most important thing in life is family. And whenever you need reliable advice, you look to the people you know you can trust. At J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers, we earn our clients' trust every day. Whether it's home, motor, travel, or commercial insurance, we've got you covered. Call 397-2100 or visit all.
J.S. Johnson Insurance.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Happy anniversary, My Gateway. Did you know that you can request and pay for over 35 government services on mygateway.gov.bs? Sign up today and access government services online with efficiency and simplicity. It's a celebration of a year of collective success on our digital transformation journey. My Gateway, making government work for you.
Father's Day is not just about celebrating dads. It's about celebrating all our protectors, our husbands, and our oldest friend. This Father's Day, don't forget to tell him, "I'm so glad you're mine," with a gift from Bonneville Bones.
Bonneville Bones, a statement in fashion, a night on the town. Find us Bay Street, Marlin Marathon at Bonneville Bones.
You do coffee your way.
Double shot, decaf, cappuccino.
Light roast, Colombian, no milk.
You do vacations your way.
Hiking boots, tent, mountains.
Five-star hotels and theater.
And now you can do insurance your way.
Online. Email.
Chat.
WhatsApp.
Or in branch. For home, car, travel, boat, or business insurance, do it anyway with NUA Insurance Agents and Brokers. Visit NUAinsurance.com, call, or stop by a branch today.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
We know how important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available in services, from click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options. We're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
They're playing
That's right, boys and girls. Get ready to play basketball at the 34th Annual Jeff Rogers Basketball Camp, July 4th through July 29th at the Kendall G.L. Isaacs Gym, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. daily. So parents, get your boys and girls ages 5 through 18 registered now. Applications available at the South Bahamas Conference of Seventh-day Adventists, Tonic Williams Darling Highway, and at the registration desk at Campsite Kendall G.L. Isaacs Gym. Special appearances by NBA players, legends, and coaches. So get your boys and girls registered now, ages 5 through 18, for the 34th Annual Jeff Rogers Basketball Camp, July 4th through July 29th.
The Water and Sewage Corporation advises residents of Pinecrest Drive, South Beach East, that the corporation will commence improvement work on Tuesday, May 31st, 2022, for a duration of 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. daily. During this period, there may be some interruption in the water supply, road closure, and detours around the work area. Motorists are advised to avoid the area where possible. The corporation apologizes for any inconvenience caused and appreciates your support as they work to improve their level of service.
Good afternoon, Bahamas. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. All right. So clearly, I'm not the prime minister because I wasn't billing y'all no new Gladstone Road. Y'all could just deal with what y'all had. But, you know, I guess Minnis or Davis, I don't know who started it or who came up with the idea. But y'all are getting a new Gladstone Road. I don't know. I mean, I'm not tripping off the $29 million, right? I'm not tripping. I don't know what y'all spending on Village Road. It'd be great if y'all could get along with that. It's a nightmare. And also, there are huge potholes along East Bay Street or East Bay Street. Yeah. Like after you pass the bridge, like before you get to Pilot House, there's like a huge hole in the road, exacerbated by the rain. But, you know, y'all get to it one day. And so, and my wife's car is a little sedan, you know, and so I can't just navigate it like I could with my larger car because I drive my wife's car, I could bring over servicing. And so there's a massive hole in the road. I'm sorry, I'm supposed to be talking about that. I'll shut up in a moment. There's a massive hole in the road. And I slow down and the guy's behind me, maybe 45 feet, right? And I put on my turn signal because, you know, I'm not a maniac in terms of my driving, a complete reckless lunatic like a lot of you out there. And I put on my turn signal and I'm trying to ease in, you know, because there's a hole in the road. I can't cross. The guy behind me speeds up. He's not doing nothing. He's already made it through. He speeds up to cut me off before I can go into the next lane. Who sent you people? Anyway. So anyway, Alfred Sears says, you guys are getting the road on Gladstone Road. And I'm not tripping off it. $29 million does sound like a lot, but we've spent a lot of money on roads. I'm with Stadium Alfred Sears. We just gonna have to not agree on that one. But $29 million for 3 miles of road, given what we've seen with road construction in the past, that's not a huge deal. All right. And it costs less to build the roads on the Family Islands than it does in New Providence because we have a lot going on in terms of utilities and infrastructure. Plus, Iron Two Shore, all that land out Gladstone. I don't have sinkholes in it. But anyway. If you want to look to a comparable project, look to the airport gateway. The airport gateway is about 7 miles, right? And that cost just under $70 million. So about $10 million a mile, that ain't out of the realm of reason in terms of what we're seeing, in particular because of the oil prices. Now, I don't know if they're going to hedge the asphalt and all this stuff that they're going to use for the road, if they hedge the buying facility on that, because, you know, you need petroleum to create asphalt. And the price of petroleum goes up, then, or you need oil anyway to create asphalt. Petroleum, yeah. Asphalt's a byproduct of petroleum, last I checked. I don't know if they're going to hedge that, but you could have overages in terms of the price if they don't. But oil's still pretty high, so hopefully it'll go down. Now, but the airport gateway costs, you know, about $70 million, less than $70 million. And they're trying to do the same thing over Gladstone Road. So that's not out of the realm of reason. As far as I'm concerned, I was in Billignon-Looney Road. I wasn't going to be me. I was going to put a toll road up there or something. And y'all... Anyway, go ahead. I ain't going to fool with y'all. I can be in my little 3-mile radius over here. My car needs service in about 3 times a year that I do it, and that's about it. Other than that, I can't get with y'all. I'll get my mind if I had to take that highway in Robinson Road every day. I'd have lost my entire mind. Like, if I were to move out west, everything would have to move. Like, my children's school would have to move, everything. I couldn't come here. No, what? On this road with y'all? No, sir. No, sir. All right, we got to take a break. We'll be back on the other side. We'll talk some more about Sears presentation. Stay tuned.
Is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Good afternoon, Bahamas. Welcome back to the Revolution here on Guardian Radio. 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. Now, okay, we were talking about Alfred Sears' presentation in the House of Assembly, which, again, you know, was... Oh, someone's calling me. You can call. No problem. 323-6232. 325-4316. 325-4259. You can text us at 422-4796. 422-4796. This is one, they messed up your fence on purpose. Don't worry. Don't worry about that. It ain't long, no. I can tell you that. I don't set things in motion. It ain't long now. Okay. So $29 million for the road. I'm not tripping on. Now, in the same speech, he talked about $29 million for the road. Then why don't you watch how this go? Excuse me. We're talking about $31 million more for the baseball stadium. So I know who built the road. But whoever built the road, please pay closer attention. Whoever overseeing the road construction, please pay more careful attention than whoever was supposed to oversee the baseball stadium construction. Because I'm looking at that, and all I see is $60 million. And you know what? The Bahamas might be the new DR. And we'll see. But that's a hell of a lot of money for a baseball stadium. A hell of a lot. I don't want nobody mistaken. Well, you know you got to invest. I hear you. Right? And DR has many nice baseball stadiums, mainly because they had a lot of people in abject poverty who made it to the major leagues who came back and told the government they need to invest in baseball stadium. Yeah, what do you mean if the... No, DR ain't always had them baseball stadiums. They have all kind of poor people. Only y'all think people in Nassau are poor. You know how many people have much, much, much more poor people? And what y'all call poor, a lot of y'all, it ain't, but a lot of other people consider poor. Yeah, man, DR got plenty nice baseball stadiums. Look like MLB stadiums. You know how many Major League Baseball players come from DR? That's what we need to start doing. Just in terms of, I mean, a lot of DR are still broke, but you know, but just in terms of when you have these successful people, they come back and they foster a program. Like all the NBA players we had, they usually come back and foster basketball players. And you know, not everybody going to make it to the NBA. And not everybody going to make it to the MLB, but you might could get yourself an education for free. Yeah, you might could get yourself an education, get coaching jobs, get different corporate jobs. You know what I mean? That's how you, everybody ain't got to be the superstar. Everybody ain't got to be, you make it 100 million ways to uplift yourself. We got a call. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello, good afternoon. Are you there? All right. Nope. Not a problem. Call me back. Say they thought DR only had women. They got that too. Make no mistake about it. This is some decks. Excuse me. Because I want to talk about what Sarah said on particularly since South Andros called. We got a call. Let's take the call. All right. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, Juan, comrade, what's happening?
Hey, what's happening, man?
Well, if I tell you, you might talk it. But you know, a lot of different administrations go, and they ready to do whatever they want to. What the first thing they want to do, you need to fix the road.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? Right. I can't spend all that money on the road, but the kind of crisis would be got going on. I would introduce to that road a lot of exits, you know what I mean, that road don't have. Because everybody don't need to go. See, they got these road fixed, but everybody got a bottleneck at the beginning or at the end. All they got to do is open up some exit, proper exits. If you want to build roads, build some exits, you know what I mean?
Right,
coming
exactly.
off them so all the cars don't have to go way down to come back around.
You I understand? Agree. And I also think one of the great, anyway, finish, go ahead.
And the main thing is, but it might take a little bit of brain power to do this. What they need to do, the technocrats or the politicians, sit down, take 1 month or two, which you need to do, and design different working hours. Children going to school for 9 o'clock. People going to work for 9 o'clock. Everybody going somewhere for 9 o'clock in one direction. You understand what I'm saying? So what in the world do they expect? You ever look at the road on a Sunday afternoon, a Saturday evening, or a holiday? Say, no, it is. Ain't no car on the road. Why? Because everybody ain't going the same way, the same time, same place. They just stagger times and places for people to go to work. It's a lot of things we could do to save all that money. And the last point I want to make is, when we build these new roads, who stands to benefit the majority from the asphalt? See if you could figure out who that is, and I can listen. Who stands to benefit?
Are you in
Hot Mix? Pardon me?
I know Hot Mix. Maybe Bomber Stripe will get involved.
I don't want you to be calling nobody to hear me, though.
I don't care. They build a lot of roads. To me,
this road project is like what the fella was saying this morning, who was talking about beaches and parks. This thing in the final run looked like this design to pay somebody some big money in their pockets. Thanks for taking my call.
Somebody can get paid, no problem. Somebody can get paid for $29 million. But that's how, you know, I mean, I ain't tripping off it. I just don't want anybody come back to me in 2 years. Well, it's 50 now because, you know, we had to do drawings again. And it was change orders and all this. So we'll see. But I'm choosing a billionaire road. And I'll say this. One of the flaws, I think, with the New Providence Road Improvement Project and a couple other projects we had, road projects we had, was that we don't really build emergency lanes. So when a person have a problem, they got to keep going to the next exit. And that often could be a ways away. So you got a flat tire, your car break down, they just have the car there. Now, some of y'all just ain't into nothing. I don't see how a grown man could sit in the breakdown car and the parking lot 15 feet away and you can't come out and put you waiting for the wrecker. I'm not that type of guy, but I guess some of y'all was, you know, came up different. So I think that's one of the flaws. The emergency lanes or the tow lanes, whatever you want to call it. I highly doubt they'll build them on Glaston Road. We'll see. And the second thing I'll say, I know we got a call, is if you want to stagger people going to work so it's less traffic, okay. I don't know how you control that, but I don't expect there to not be traffic. That would be foolish considering the amount of cars we have. It doesn't have to be as bad as it does. I would say 60% of the traffic problems are just people driving like garbage. Let's take the call. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Now, that Glaston Road project scratched my head, too. Because I can remember Papa got the Chinese to do JFK for 53. And that's five times longer, five times more work than Glaston Road. Glaston Road is already cleared down. The hardest job is to move BC balls. They have to cut on the hills. There's no lake that they have to fill in. So I don't know, maybe get the Chinese to do the road.
Because Chinese had overruns too.
$60 million for JFK.
No, JFK ended up, airport gate ended up costing $67 million. It's twice as long as last one.
They had to cut down hills. It was longer, filling part of the lake. You know what I'm saying? But for half price, $30 million for land that's already cleared down. I mean, that's going to bring, and then getting back to right. Now, the $20 million for the government house, what the status is on that? We need to know. Why do Prime Minister travel to conferences? I can remember in the early 80s, Finland went to, I think, CBI, Calvin Basin Initiative, and Ronald Reagan was there. I think he read the riot act on the U.S. president, and that's when things turned bad for him, because he told America, Like what they doing to us, Caribbean nation? Did you know about that?
I remember Pilgrim spoke at one of the conferences. Yeah.
Yeah, at the downtown Miami, at the Intercontinental. Pilgrim went there, and read the Reagan administration on how they treating us. So the Prime Minister must travel to different conferences and trade events. That's how we get trade. That's how we get aid. That's how we meet.
I don't have a problem with the Prime Minister traveling. Thanks, bro. Appreciate it. Listen, I got a problem if the Prime Minister rent a 747 and carry two-thirds of the cabinet and all their wife and a bunch of support staff and y'all stay at the best hotels everywhere and y'all go everywhere and anywhere on air. I got a problem with that. All right. But I got a problem with the Prime Minister traveling. And here's what's happened to us in this country, right? Don't blame nobody but yourself. Politicians, right? And I'm not saying politicians like y'all are some subhuman level of people, but you in the political realm, all right? You're professional, sensible, well-thinking people who sometimes say the stupidest stuff. You guys, right? It wasn't people on the street or officials or prominent people in private positions who said, there's too much traveling on, You guys made political fodder out of ministerial travel. Okay? Straight through. When it was Fred Mitchell, as all as Christie traveling all over the place, yada, yada. This is your doing. Why people scrutinize this and jump on this later is because you guys were looking for cheap political points. And so you made it a national issue. The last Ingram administration, the Minnis administration, when they had increased the money for the spousal travel and everything like that, I wasn't with all of that either. But I wasn't gonna, it's a national problem. That's why it's still an issue every time it occurs. Because you guys making an issue about each other, looking for clout, looking for airtime, tell me I'm lying. And now when you do it and you find it's a necessity and you get criticized, you go, well, that's crazy. And you gotta say crazy stuff like the prime minister's in high demand. The prime minister gets invited to global conferences. It is what it is, right? That's why y'all in Parliament can't get no raise. Mind you, I'll give y'all a raise if we change the structure of your job. That's why y'all can't get a raise, because y'all keep making noise about it. And everybody's scared to do it. Some of y'all don't deserve, anyway. If you change the way the job is done, we could talk raise. But right now, raise, no. This is why y'all look crazy, right? Because you make hay of these things that are normal. Brave Davis didn't get into office and go, hey, homie, where all could we go? I feel like flexing, right? I won't go. But he already been all around. He ain't getting office and go, let's do something. Let's figure out where we're going to go. I don't like it around here. Let me go see what I can see out there in the wider world. You think that's what happened? You think Brad Davis went, hey, man, I hear UAE having an expo. I'd like to go check it out. Come on, man. These things are planned way in advance. All right? And the prime minister's getting office and the minister of foreign affairs getting office and the education minister getting office. And they're like, here's what we got set up from long time. And they expect you to be there. If you can make it, you can make it. If you can't, you have to send somebody in your stead. All right. Now, you do have people who go on fact-finding missions. Like, I wouldn't mind, if I'm not wrong, like Jerome Fitzgerald, he went to like Finland and other places to see, look at the education system and all that. I got no problem with that. Right. Zero. All right. You can go place and see how people deal with coastal management. Two, you send your police officers for training abroad because you want to have the most current and best practices, et cetera. There's no problem with that. But this isn't something where everybody, I want to move, man. Come on, let's move. I want some walking around money. What hotel are we staying at? I want to see downtown Chicago. You know what I mean? It's not like that. You know, from all that has been explained to me, it is not like that. And y'all know it's not like that. Y'all who do it to each other, and you want the lowest common denominator of political attack to resonate the loudest. And so you mess yourselves up. All right. So you guys weaponized murder counts for political purposes on air. And people look to y'all like y'all supposed to stop people from murdering each other. Because that's what y'all told the Bahamian people. Right? Both the BLB and the FNM. Brave Davis put up a murder billboard. You do it to each other and you sound crazy. And then when the public joins in, what are I supposed to do? What are you supposed to do? I mean, you should have shut up about it in the first place. It wasn't that big a deal to begin with that you had to talk about it with you. You want to ensure that there is crime fighting. You want to ensure that there are proper resources and polices. But you shouldn't put the murder count of a gang war on the political directorate. You want to bring focused attention to it. But once you do that, it's about politics. If the right politician is in place, with the right policy, we're going to stop people from murdering each other. We're going to stop the gang. And that's not the case, is it? That didn't happen, did it? It's been some ebbs and flows, but these lunatics are killing each other. I got a few suggestions that may not be constitutional, but, you know, for the most part, it doesn't matter who's been in office. All right? Y'all don't want me. These people, y'all elect to be elected, nice. Except minutes, but anyway, y'all tell me I'm talking too much. If we are, this is a text message, if we're leading the way in trying to get carbon credits, shouldn't we be leading the way and show where we are on the cutting edge of eliminating greenhouse gases? I think that's the way to have others take us seriously. Not to do so makes it less likely that he will be taken seriously. Well, and I agree. Now, is that viable? He says there's going to be a 60 megawatt. Was it the premise or Alfred Sears? I'll have to double check. Alfred Sears or the premise. Davis Cooper administration says they're going to have a 60 megawatt solar field on New Providence. Okay. Now, that's not going to supply one fourth of our power needs on a good day, but that's a start. Is it feasible to do that when we need 300 megawatts in the summer? I don't know that it is. So I don't know that you'll ever get off of fossil fuel with greenhouse gases. Now, you might get to something that's a little less polluting, but it's still, LNG is still burning fossil fuels. So you gotta, I guess you could say LNG is not as harmful and you could go there, but it won't pollute the environment in terms of what I'm out of Clifton as much, but you're still not off greenhouse gases. So I'd like to know how that is. And it, but they've done some stuff. So they're like, oh, we'll do the family islands and all stuff like that. And let me show you something. This thing with the family islands, all right, that's more of a, it'll cut down on cost thing. Then, oh yeah, it's going to really bring down the amount of greenhouse gas. We produce more pollution than all of them combined. But if you put them on solar, we ain't got to ship fuel back and forth and all the costs that are go along with it. But I agree. If you want to cut down on your greenhouse gases, you want to do as much as possible, you know, go tell them we got rid of single-use plastic bags. Minnis did that. And the dump. Can't take that from him, can you? See, I can say something nice. All right. When the speaker has this, when I talk, you must dance attitude. That man could have been getting his groove on. I don't blame him and ignored her calls. LOL. We can deal with Stephen Russell another day. NEMA hasn't been functioning as it should be for quite some time. That could be for a multitude of reasons, but we cannot look past the leadership of NEMA entirely. It says $29 million for Gladstone is actually less than the per mile cost for the airport road and includes all the new utilities that have to be put in place. I mean, less is what, like a couple hundred grand less? I mean, it was about $10 million for the airport road. It's going to be about $10 million for Gladstone Road. If they stick to that $29 million figure over time, I'll be shocked. But yeah, I'm not tripping. If you got to spend $10 million to build a road, if the road needs to last, right? They say that the roads we have, there's a certain process, like with the asphalt, the road improvement project roads, they're supposed to last 15 to 20 years. If you build concrete roads, they tell me, they can last 40 years. Like, you know how the highways in the United States, they're concrete? Like, those last decades. And these roads, they're supposed to last about 20 years. The ones that we built, like the airport gateway. Not the old school ones. The new set. Oh, we got to take a break? All right. It says, want a bus? Huh? Let them walk. Let them kick rocks. I can send a bus for the elderly people. They can't walk. They need a bus. All y'all can do is give these people a heart attack. We all drive. All right, let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Children are a blessing and should be treated with love and care. They deserve safe, stable, and nurturing relationships, a supportive family environment, and positive social networks. Mothers, fathers, teachers, aunties, uncles, neighbors, Bahamas, let's do our part to stop the physical, sexual, and mental abuse of our children. Make the calls, file the reports, save precious lives. Let's join hands and hearts and say no more to child abuse. This message was brought to you by CFAL. Growing wealth for future generations.
At Ron's Electric Motors, they repair and rewind all major brands of electric motors, including water pumps, generators, and the generator's back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They're equipped to handle up to 850 kilowatts and rewind up to 450 horsepower motors. They're conveniently located on the corner of Wolf and Clarence Roads and are open weekdays, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays till noon for hours emergency assistance. You can reach them at 242-356-0249.
The King wants you to take a walk on the tangy side with the all-new Zesty Whopper collection at Burger King Nassau. Enjoy the classic Zesty Whopper with two types of cheese, zesty sauce, and crispy onions stacked on 100% flame-grilled beef. Or go zesty on our plant-based Whopper and crispy chicken. All three are saucy, crunchy, and full of flavor. And only available at Burger King Nassau. Visit any of our seven locations and enjoy a Zesty Whopper as a combo or as part of the King's Feast at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
Father's Day is not just about celebrating dads. It's about celebrating all that our dads are. Our protectors, our husbands. This Father's Day, don't forget to tell him, I'm so glad you're mine, with a gift from Bonneville Bones.
Bonneville Bones, a statement in fashion, a night on the town.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back to the revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. Says man wanting to cause them spend $200 million on new bike lanes now and have $100 bikes recorded as $1,000 a piece, $500 million for bicycle. Yeah, yeah, ain't going to be no $1,000 bike. You can forget that. If I feel good, I can put brakes on the bike. Y'all ever been? When we were younger, young teenagers, probably preteens. And that's, I'm thankful for my parents. And I'm maybe not as good a parent because I don't do this. My parents like took me throughout the family islands, like when I was a kid, you know. Like 8, 9, 10, like we went to Florida and other places, but it's like we would go vacation like in the family islands, like take a week and go to Atlanta. And anyway, in Andros, we're in Fresh Creek. Anyway, the motel, the little bed and breakfast where they got cabanas on the beach. They got mosquitoes, you know, the size of pigeons, but they got turkey buzzards. You ever seen them? When you're on the beach, like if you're still for too long, they come closer. Anyway, in Andros, the motel had what's called Iron Donkey, right? So it's a bicycle, two wheel, a basket, a little frame. That's it. You leave them out in the rain. They rust. They still go in. One chain and no gears to it. Ironed out. You want to stop? You put your foot on the ground. Y'all might get them the way y'all carry on. If it was me. This is when I was letting everyone ride donkey. There you go. Actual donkey. Says one, the roads in Grand Bahama are trash. The port and government play games when it comes to who's responsible for the upkeep of this island. Well, I'll tell you this. I ain't been to Grand Bahama in quite a while. Certainly not since the hurricane. But the port roads look real good to me. And the second you leave the port area, the moment you leave, like one side of the road look one way and the other side of the moment you leave it, you could tell who's taking care of the road. And it's the government and they ain't checking. But he did mention roads for Grand Bahama yesterday. Let's see if we can go through a bit of it. So let me just go Grand Bahama, Grand Bahama. They said they're doing a bridge, the glass window bridge they're reconstructing, starting. He said early 2022, which it ain't early 2022 now. Maybe it already started. All right, so Bimini, Great Harbor, Barrie Islands, Great Harbor Airport, Great Harbor Key Airport, Crooked Island, Abaco, Governor's Harbor, Tarpon Bay. Shout out to Tarpon Bay. All them Cartneys, my family out there. Cousin Kurt. Hatchet Bay. All right. So dredging of channel between McLeanstown Dock and Sweetings Dock. Well, that ain't the road. I'm going to dredge the channel. Andros. Exuma, Long Island. Exuma. Okay, Grand Bahama Road Repair. He ain't said much about it. Grand Bahama Road Repairs and Carriage Rehabilitation Project. This project, which was one of several Family Island Road Improvement Projects, was awarded in 2020. Reconstruction and repairs of approximately 8 miles of road in East Central and West Grand Bahama. The works were done in hot mix asphalt at a cost of $6,100,000. The contractor is WA Construction of Grand Bahama. And the works are now 97% completed. You may be out of luck, Grand Bahama person, I'm afraid. He didn't say much. Let me do South Andhra. I'm going to do Central and South. Y'all road straight in North Andros, eh? Central Andros Road Repairs Project. This project involves the reconstruction of approximately 17.5 miles of main road from Fresh Creek to Bearing Point in Central Andros. The final surface is in P-Rock and sand seal. Ugh. And the cost of the project is expected to be $9,600,000. The contract was awarded to Apex Pavers Limited. The work started in September 2021, is now 35% completed. Okay, so what's in Nassau cost so much? Because we getting like really well-constructed road. They getting P-Rock and sand seal. And they could do 17 and a half miles for $9 million. I can explain something to you right now. Hold on. South Andhra. Miles of roads in South Andros along the main Queens Highway from Driggs Hill to Mars Bay in P-Rock and Sand Seal. The project cost is $8,540,000. Contractor is KW Paving. Okay. 19 miles of road in South Andros along the main Queens Highway from Driggs Hill to Mars Bay. The project started in the third quarter of 2021. The work has stopped for 3.5 months for logistical and supply issues. The contractor is now back on site, and the contract is approximately 30% completed, with final completion expected to be in early 2023. Okay. You remember the other day? Let me, I can help you out and explain something. The challenges we face, right? So you remember the other day when we were talking about the Family Island Infrastructure Fund and how they're going to take 10% of revenues from the Family Islands, and they're going to use that for infrastructure projects on the Family Islands. You remember? Okay, so let's just look at these two things. There, I think this is just Andros. I'm not sure what else is there with Andros. But I want to use Andros for a particular reason. Okay, this is two things. $17.5 of road, okay, for $9,600,000, so $9.6 million for 17 miles of road in Andros. Another 19 miles of road in South Andros is $8.5 million. Okay, so 36 miles of road, 36 and a half miles of road is going to cost us $18 million. All right. I won't even round it up to 20 because you know it's going to be overages more than likely, right? 36 and a half miles of road is going to cost us $18 million. Just these two projects alone. What's the population of the entirety of Andros? We didn't even talk about North Andros yet, right? We didn't talk about it. And I'm not saying this to make you mad, Androsians. I'm saying this to make a point. So you believe 8,000 Androsians provided to the public coffers $18 million to go pay for their roads? Do you believe that? 8,000 of them who don't pay property tax. All right. If you think that, I got a bridge in Andros to sell you. So here's what's happening. These family islands don't make no government revenue like that. All right. If you think they generated $18 million in government revenue last year to year before, or will generate it this year to this budget year to justify spending $18 million. 37 and a half miles of roads in Andros, which ain't a lot considering the size of Andros. But there's only 8,000 people in Andros. So the first thing is, well, you got to understand that these Family Island conveniences are happening because there are family. Not because they're huge revenue generating sectors that contribute so heavily to the public purse. And we suck up all the money here in New Providence that they're contributing and they go without. I'll be real with you. Your family lines, and we love you. In terms of government revenue, you don't pay your way. But we love you because you're our family. I think, well, my wife got some Andros family. We love you. And so that's why we're doing this. And that's why we share our money with you. And you have airports, right? We're under no illusions that any airport brings in near what LPIA does, right? No? But we love you. So we share your airports and we build docks and seawalls because you're our family. And we love you. We don't treat you like really good family, considering we got the money, but, you know, we take care of you. If the roof leaking, you know, we help you get a little tarp, that kind of family. But the Family Islands, major expense on the public purse, but we do it because we love you. You have some islands who come close, considering their population. So maybe north of Luthra, maybe. All right. And a lot of that money they're generating is through exports. So recognize that the Family Islands are getting these conveniences because we believe that we're all a family and we should be, you know, all have the conveniences that are affordable. All right. But $18 million for roads, for 37.5 miles or 36.5 miles of road in an Amtrak? You guys didn't pay for that. All right? So I think that we need to be, without trying to be mean, someone could say it more eloquently than me, I'm sure. We need to be frank about these things. We ain't set up to take care of everybody like that. Now, if you want to make some investments in the Family Islands and say we're hoping the economy takes off and all this, all right, that's another thing. Oh, wait, you guys got the big ideas. I'm so sorry. I'm the sellout to the man, right, and the corporate entity. That they can afford, they're going to pay for their 36.5 miles of road. What are you going to, you're gonna sell it off? The aragonite? You get the aragonite out of Andros and build the roads? You're going to get fill? How much of that are you going to do? What are you going to do? There's fresh water. You're going to sell that? We shouldn't sell this idea that there's some Family Island infrastructure, huge revenue base that we're unfairly taking from them to supply our own needs in the capital, and that we're now going to change that out of the goodness of our hearts. The Family Islands need infrastructure. The Family Islands need critical corporate investment. I was looking at the comments under a story about Chester Cooper in Saudi Arabia, and you guys are really clever out here. And they go, oh, what are we going to teach them? Because we're supposed to help them with tourism. How to have someone come in and take our resources and give us the menial jobs and all this. Y'all are out of y'all minds, man. Y'all are out of y'all bloody minds out here. When I came back to this country, and maybe it's because I'm really attractive and light-skinned, but I don't think so. The fastest job I could get was at a hotel. And it wasn't at no big hotel, all right? I needed money. My parents couldn't support me. I went and got a hotel job. I know people who went to school with me from other Caribbean countries and didn't find work for that could support them and or their families. I got a hotel job when I came back here. Within 6 months, I got a car. I was able to support myself and start building up my life. And you guys think that this stuff is garbage. You piss on it. I don't understand it. I should have just came home and sat and sucked off of my parents and waited for the Raggedy money to pour in. Yeah, we gotta take a break. All right, we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Popeyes and Coke are taking you to the beach with our Ultimate Summer Beach Box. Purchase the box and enter to win day passes, water park passes, beach chairs, towels, and much more. Enjoy the Ultimate Summer Box, which has our iconic chicken sandwich, two chicken tenders, one side of choice, and a 32-ounce Coca-Cola beverage. With dipping sauce, perfect for a beach day. Fill out the skill question on your seat, then drop it into the entry box or enter online at
Popeyes.
I used to think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem. Just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
Preparing for a hurricane can make all the difference in safeguarding lives. By knowing what actions you should take to reduce the effects of hurricane disaster, get all the facts of the potential of having insurance, impact-resistant windows, home emergency power, surge protectors, essential supplies, plus so much more before the storm. after the storm, where to purchase building or cleaning supplies, waste disposal, medical care, which auto shop to go to after driving through flooded streets, and more. The Nassau Guardian's Hurricane Guide will help to make sure everyone knows what to do in the event a hurricane approaches. Take advantage of this double insertion opportunity radio commercials. Contact us today, 302-2300, or your account executives. Will you be prepared?
You do coffee your way. Double shot, decaf, cappuccino.
Light roast, Colombian, no milk.
You do vacations your way.
Hiking boots, tent, mountains.
Five-star hotels and theater.
And now you can do insurance your way.
Online.
Email.
Chat.
WhatsApp.
Or in branch. For home, car, travel, boat, or business insurance, do it anyway with NUA Insurance agents and brokers. Visit NUAinsurance.com, call, or stop by a branch today.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. It says, hey, bro, we need emergency pullover lanes on the new road. Yeah, I agree. More rain, eh? Rain again. Shocker. Juan, Gladstone Road roundabout is the problem. It's a horrible design that doesn't give people coming out of Gladstone Road adequate time to get on the roundabout. Yeah, the Gladstone Road roundabout is designed terribly. If you are coming east along the airport gateway approaching the roundabout, no issue. If you are traveling south, coming from Bahamar Boulevard to the roundabout, no issue. And if you are traveling west, approaching the Glasson Road roundabout, you can experience some delays, but trying to get onto the roundabout from Gladstone Road, it's a nightmare. And I don't come out like that. I go to the movies and stuff. That's about it. Although I do hear Bamboo Shack has a spot at the new Ruby station that might warrant checking out. All right, you got a few more text messages here. This says, one, it's the Bahamas. That $29 million for Gladstone Road will quickly balloon into $92 million. Yeah. I mean, I don't know that I've ever heard last 20 years, a road in New Providence coming in on budget. You know, we'll see. It says, Juan, since all of our governments can't seem to fix this drainage issue, what are your thoughts on building us some bridges? Building us some bridges. A bridge to where? To go. To drive over downtown? And you get off the bridge and do what? And what happens to the rest of downtown? Help me. Yeah, a bridge to drive over Pinewood? And what happens to the houses when you got to go live in Pinewood? I don't understand. Tell me what building bridges is going to do. You could build better roads with drainage. We could do that. It says the budgeted road cost is definitely in the park, but I bet my bottom dollar the project will not be completed on time and final costs will more than double. That may be so, but I'll tell you what, and I'm willing to be proven wrong on this because I don't live right near a lot of it. Although, I do drive along the Road Improvement Road in the Providence Road Improvement Project roads every day, not all of them. I don't see those roads flooding. All right, help me out. The New Providence Road Improvement Project doesn't flood. Independence Drive does flood. The Tonic Williams Darling Highway, I don't drive along that all the time, but I don't experience flooding when I drive along that. I don't experience flooding on either side of Blue Hill Road, East Street. I no longer live near Prince Charles Drive, but I don't experience flooding on that. So I say that to say maybe they built some of those roads properly. I don't experience flooding on the airport gateway. I don't see flooding on Bahamar Boulevard. They're hugely expensive roads. But I think we're going to have to invest money in proper roads if we don't want to deal with all the flooding issues. As far as homes being flooded and yards being flooded, that's a different kettle of fish. We got to look at that as well. This is one, you need to move to Seabreeze. We can't make enough garbage for the garbage truck to pick up. They come like twice a week. Yeah, man, I need to move back out to Seabreeze. Says Juan, don't make me lose respect for you. This project is a given to overrun. They can't help it. They'll panic and freak out if it don't go over budget. The purpose of it is to go over budget, is how they get paid. Boy, that may be. I mean, I'll say this. I've not seen them bill a road that didn't go over. Maybe Alfred Sears wasn't a business, and that may be the case, but I've not seen anyone, government, build any significant road, do road construction. I'm saying build road, not pave road. What they're going to do at Glassnode is rebuild. They're going to build a new road. I've not seen anyone do it on budget. I'd be shocked. When I look at your stadium and look at the fact that it's cost twice, and ain't nobody batting an eye about it. Well, you know, you don't spend the money. Oh, okay, all right, gotcha. This is one. If we staggered school starts, it would alleviate 1/3 of the traffic. Maybe you may be right. One, this money allocated for new roads, they need to fix the existing roads, create emergency lanes, and fix the drainage throughout New Providence. Agreed. Now, my hope and prayer is there. You got to do all of those things together. The emergency lanes, I don't know. But the emergency lanes thing makes no sense. That we have no emergency lanes on these roads is senseless. And we're out of time. So we're going to have to come back and join you tomorrow, if the Lord keeps us. It's raining again. Same song we've been singing for a couple of weeks. Shivargo Lang with ZLive Off the Record is up next. You guys take care out there. Have a great day, Bahamas.